Please pray for me now. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I mean, have you given over every aspect of your life to Jesus? October is Respect Life Month, and we begin the 40 days of life here in the Archdiocese of Denver, where men and women throughout our local church are night and day praying at Planned Parenthood for the end of abortion, for women who find themselves in desperation, and for the triumph of a culture of life in a civilization of love. Today, I'm going to speak on Humanae Vitae, the Church's teaching on human life and sexuality. And in the second part of my homily, I'll speak about natural family planning, or NFP, as the Catholic moral option to responsible parenting in contrast to contraception. Contraception is one of the most understood, misunderstood, and untalked about Catholic teachings in the Catholic Church today. And let me be honest, for priests, we're terribly afraid to preach on this subject because we like to be liked. I shed tears as I prepared this homily, but I told Jesus out of love for him that if it cost me my reputation, then so be it, because he's worth it, and so are all of you. My love for you as a priest would be worthless if I told you that I loved you and then only told you what I knew you wanted to hear. That's why I asked you to pray for me as I began this homily, and why I have Our Lady with me as I preach. I believe, as does the Church, that the teaching that the Church gave in Humanae Vitae against contraception is not a burden, but it is an invitation to joy, and it is a recipe for deeper and richer marriages between spouses. So in the 1960s, we saw great turmoil happening, both in the Church in the midst of so much transition with the Second Vatican Council, but also with the sexual revolution taking place in the Western world. Blessed Paul VI, the Pope, who in 1968 reissued the Church's teaching on human life and sexuality, suffered greatly when he published Humanae Vitae. But Pope Francis, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, recently beatified Blessed Paul VI. The 1968 letter that the Pope issued reaffirmed the perennial and traditional teaching of Catholicism from the time of Christ, that all forms of contraception are a grave sin and are contrary to the commandments of God. We find in the book of Genesis the Lord commanding, the very first commandment he gives to men and women is to be fruitful and to multiply. And we know in the scriptures and the gospels that Jesus came and said, I came that you might have life and have life abundantly. But the reception of the Holy Father's encyclical was met with great dissent, where theologians and bishops and priests and lay faithful refused to accept the teaching with an open mind and an open heart. But the Holy Father, Blessed Paul VI, predicted to a T exactly what would happen in society if contraception was allowed to take on a normative character. These are the four predictions that he made in 1968. The first was, he said, that this would lead to marital infidelity. The Pope prophesied if contraception was allowed, then we would see a rise in infidelity between married people, as well as, he said, in abortions, in divorce, in family breakdown, in wife and child abuse. He said there would be a spread of STDs and the normalization of fornication, that is, premarital sex. And he said this would open the door for the slow acceptance of same-sex unions. The second prophecy the Pope made was that men would continue to lose respect for women, considering women to be merely an instrument of selfish enjoyment rather than a respected, beloved companion. Certainly, we've seen the rise of pornography in our culture. 68 million daily internet searches for pornography. The porn industry makes more than the NFL, the baseball, and the basketball leagues combined every year. We just heard in the news about the death of Hugh Hefner, the founder of Playboy. And I propose that as we go to the altar of the Lord and offer the sacrifice of the cross to the Father, we pray for the repose of his soul, for great mercy, because great evil has come through his work in the sexual revolution. And pray for all of the men and women who have suffered because of what this man did. So many of us find ourselves enslaved to sexual sin. But Jesus Christ came to liberate us, to free us from the powers of darkness and from sin, that we might live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God the Father. The third prediction the Pope made was that population controls would gain a hold in society. Simply look around and see how our country and many other countries in the West distribute massively contraception, sterilization, and the support of abortion, all of which are grave sins contrary to sacred scripture. And lastly, the Pope said, contraception would mislead people into thinking they have unlimited dominion over their bodies. We see that in the theories that are being put forward that somebody can change their very gender that God created them to be. Now, I'm not here to condemn anybody, but to preach the truth in love. To know that we must respect the way our Creator made us and how He made us to be. We must have mercy on all people. But that doesn't mean that we should say that these things are okay. The Catholic Church's attitude towards sex is anything but the stereotype that the culture says. And what does the culture say? They say the Catholic Church's teaching is tyrannical, it's repressive, and it's anti-carnal. But in reality, all you have to do is watch society, how it swings from puritanism to license with nothing in between. Rather, Catholic marriage, the Catholic understanding, the biblical understanding of marriage is this: that Catholic marriage is exactly like Jesus. It is not about scarcity. It is about abundance and fruitfulness, not sterility. We believe that marriage lived in the grace of Jesus Christ will drive out loneliness and affirm our future as society. So if contraception is a grave sin, what are we left with when it comes to responsible parenting? How can couples and spouses discern how to accept and welcome life into this world without having to be crushed with burdens, though we know that children themselves are never burdens but gifts? The Church has always promoted NFP, natural family planning. And it's on the news these days. I'm sure some of you saw the Swedish physicist who came out with this app called Natural Cycles. Now, they call it a contraception on their website, but it really isn't. They also call it a natural family planning. And so I invite you to go on the website naturalcycles.com and check it out. But anyways, back to the point on NFP. NFP is a process of couples learning their natural fertility cycle, that of a woman's body. And it means an awareness and an appreciation of the gift of fertility as part of who a woman is. That fertility is not a disease that should be gotten rid of, but it's part of how God created the beauty of the woman's body. NFP, unlike contraception, does not attack fertility. Whereas contraception treats fertility as something evil that must be avoided, at least for a time. Couples who engage in the practice of NFP speak of greater marital intimacy and communication. And in the periods of infertility in the woman's cycle, they can discern and prayerfully reflect on when God is inviting them to welcome life into the world, as children are gifts from heaven. The difference between the two, NFP and contraception, is that NFP, or contraception, stops fertility. NFP respects the way that God Himself has made the human person, without subverting the gift of fertility. NFP not only keeps a woman's body free from intrusive chemicals and devices, but it trains couples in the biblical virtues that all of us, Jesus says, must have. Self-mastery over our passions, denial, and respect for one another. NFP does require sacrifice because it requires abstinence. But we know from Jesus, our Lord, that every vocation in the Christian life demands picking up our cross and dying to ourselves. The dissent against humanae vitae, I propose, is not simply a dissent against sexuality or church authority. On a deeper level, it is a question of a lack of faith. Do we really believe in God's goodness and that He will support us and sustain us when we welcome life into the world? In the gospel today, Jesus speaks of those who say yes, but in the end are not obedient. Perhaps some of us have said yes to Christ as Lord of our life, but then when confronted with parts of His teaching and His gospel, we resist and are like the first son. But hopefully many more of us are like the second son, who perhaps resist this teaching or other teachings of the church, but are trying to understand it in good faith, wrestling with it, saying, Lord, I desire to understand. Help me. And in time can come to say yes. Jesus tells us this is the better way. These are the ones blessed by the Lord for their obedience to Him. Brothers and sisters, if you use contraception or IUDs or sterilization in your marriage, please, please come to confession. These are grave sins. At the same time, the Lord's mercy is endless. The Lord is patient with us. He will walk with us in the midst of the journey. But nonetheless, we must humbly name our sins and confess them. Jesus will never be outdone in love and mercy. And I promise you, if you have the courage to bring these sins to him, you will experience tremendous joy in your life. As we go to the altar today, we go to Calvary. We go to the sacrifice of the Mass, where Jesus' own sacrifice is made present to us once again. Lift up your hearts to him today. Ask Jesus to pierce your heart of stone as his heart was pierced on the cross, so that our hearts of stone, those areas, wherever they are in our lives that need conversion, can be transformed through contemplating his sacred heart. Because as we contemplate the pierced side of Jesus, we will be strengthened to accept this beautiful teaching on sexuality and human life is a gift from heaven.